Welcome to the August 2nd Harbor Advisory Board meeting, City of Morro Bay. Let the record show all members are present. Welcome back, Jim, and welcome, Bill. First order of business after the roll call is approval of minutes. Did anyone have any corrections or problems with the synopsis minutes? Seeing none, I'll look for a motion of approval. And please make sure your mics are on when you speak.
So moved.
The people in the back room get really upset.
I'll second it.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Oral communications. Any member of the audience who wishes to address the Harbor Board on Harbor matters other than those on the agenda may do so now.
Hello, my name is Steve Yarling, and I live aboard on the bay of Morro Bay. I also work at the State Park Marina Kayak Shop, fortunately. And I've noticed that since all the boats are missing out of the estuary, that boaters that come to visit and some of the locals think that they can speed back there. And I was wondering if there's a possibility of maybe, since the boats are no longer there and they don't have to maneuver through them, if we could get a couple of signs up to remind boaters that they're still in a no-wake zone. And I think that I might have I don't want to see one of my kayakers or canoe rental people getting dumped out of their boat because of somebody speeding through the estuary, and it seems like it's been taking place more often.
I'll talk to Mr. Arling, and I'm sure that, you know, the first, if those reports are passed on to us, then we'll get a hold of Fish and Game, and usually, you know, we can run it down and find out who it is. So I think the first thing, too, would be if folks do observe that, let us know in the Harbor Patrol office, and we'll see what we can do, and if there's signs needed, we can look into that kind of thing.
I think it's worth noting that Mr. Algert does work well with Coast Guard, State Parks, Fish and Game, and other agencies, and when something is not in our jurisdiction, that doesn't mean we can't affect some change. So you'll at least ask some questions, Mr. Algert?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else on matters not on the agenda? All right. The first item for a first presentation item is the boatyard concept plan. Mr. Auger.
Thank you. Good evening, Board, Mr. Chairman and members. If you don't mind, I'm going to read this report. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I think a little background for the audience. Yes, sir.
Before you start, this isn't a public hearing, is it?
Yeah, we scheduled this as a public hearing.
Okay.
Our rules are a little less formal than the City Council's, but my intention was that you would take public comment. And then the recommendation, I'm hoping that you'll provide us input. And
okay.
I gave you some example questions at the end.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. In 1997, the Morro Bay City Council appointed a four-member boating access facility committee to review existing boat storage and repair facilities with the intent of determining if additional repair and storage capacity was needed in Morro Bay Harbor, and if so, where such facilities should be located. The committee recommended that a new boat storage and repair facility should be considered at the land-water interface directly north of the power plant intake structure on the city property north and west of the power plant entrance. That was a little tortured. We did put in a site plan for the board members, at least, and I don't know if we can get it up on the screen, but the second attachment or the second page of your agenda item shows a concept plan that was drawn up by Concept Marine. And if you can locate down at the very bottom of the page is the travel lift pier, would be the two fingers into the water. That's the bottom of the page is the Coleman Park area. Here. One moment, please. Thank you.
You mind if I gave her mine?
Yeah. The page, as I was describing, is the Coleman Beach area. And it does show the dotted line would be the new relocated Embarcadero Road. is shown on there as dotted lines. So this did anticipate in 1998 the relocation of the straightening of Embarcadero just in front of the entrance to the power plant. The area that any look at this type of facility, the critical issue that you have to have is you have to have the land-water interface. You have to have a place to pull boats out of the water. So that was, and I participated in all the committee discussions. That was one of the big questions was, well, where would be the best place to select for this land-water interface? They chose this area north of the intake structure because I think in part it was close to our other developed water facilities, and there was a large tract of unused land to the north of there on the east side of Embarcadero Extension, or the dirt extension of Embarcadero, that looked like it could potentially be used for dry storage and boat repair. And the power plant, at least at that time, and is an industrial type use and would seem to be a good match for a boat repair and dry storage industrial, light industrial type use. So there were discussions took many weeks. There was a lot longer than that, and there was consideration of a lot of other sites. And I would add one more contextual thing, and I think we talked about this the last meeting, is this: remember, this isn't just a boat repair facility. The idea here was to try to provide dry boat storage, too. And there's an economic reason for that because there's a demand, and it could help carry the project financially. And also, that's an opportunity for more boating facilities, more boating opportunities in the future if we can provide dry storage, additional dry storage here in the the location of Morro Bay. We can reduce travel time and towing time on boats, which is good for the environment, good for traffic and transportation. And we can also potentially provide more boating opportunities by just providing the dry storage facility here. Most of the city's, if not all the city's planning documents, indicate that there's little desire for additional in-the-water boating facility development. Our 2020 plan, I think it was, the general language is along the lines of enhance existing facilities, but no new major marina-type facilities are desired, is a general planning-type theme that you find. So the dry land storage is considered a good alternative way to provide additional boating opportunities in the future. So I'll return to the report here quickly and finish up. And the concept plan showed some commercial area in it. You might know about two-thirds of the way up the page. And they actually did run up a cost estimate that if you tried to provide the whole facility as shown here, including equipment, it would be about $7 million for commercial buildings, marine commercial, and things like that. So there's a lot of different levels of scope that we can look at here. At that time, 1998, a bare bones boat repair yard and small dry storage, $2 million, and all the way up to major parking facilities and large dry storage equipment and marine commercial area at about $7 million. In 1998, the city also engaged Marshall and Associates to perform an economic and operational assessment of the proposed project. The full report from Marshall and Association was included in, well, is on our city website, in the Harbor Department budget, but we did include your agenda item pages 1 through 8, which was the summary and some of the basic economic analysis information. The Marshall report indicated, and the information's there for you, and I'm sure you'll have some questions on this, but my summary, the Marshall report indicated that we have a relatively small boating market here and that it would be difficult to make the boat repair facility on its own a financial in the black operation. In rough terms, it could work if all of the infrastructure and probably the equipment is provided. And you're just looking to operate it, and that. But if you're looking for a developer to come in and do a bare ground type development, it's going to be very difficult to find anyone who would be willing to invest $2 or $3 million and for our boating market here. And I think most of you, at least, are sure familiar with the boat repair yard down in Port St. Louis. They spent about $600,000 or $700,000, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little longer at this time. Time flies. To upgrade that yard and put in some environmental protections and drainage work, And the yard is full most of the time. It's difficult to get in. They do have some operational issues with even getting their travel if working in that particular site. But I don't know how many places there are down at the boat repair yard in Port San Luis. I would guess about 20, 25 maybe, depending on size of vessels and things. And it's a plan description of our boardwalk project. And I do want to bring this to your attention at this time because all of the planning and information that we did on this project previously was 1998. And while the AGP is putting that up for us too, in 1998, there was some obstacles beyond just the somewhat negative economic analysis that was done on the boat repair yard project. The council agreed and accepted the concept plan and the committee's recommendation and did designate it as a project to be worked on. But we all recognized that we were just starting or pretty well into at that point probably a very controversial project at the power plant and whether they were going to modernize or not. There was still some private land ownership in the area that was needed to be resolved. And there was also the question of environmental impacts and whether the property could actually be used even for this type of development. The zoning would appear to allow it. So many of those obstacles, you know, from 1998 to present, a lot of those issues have moved in our direction, you would say. The Dendulk property was purchased by the power plant and has subsequently been turned over to the city. So you can safely say that the city owns or has granted to it all the property west of the power plant wall there or the power plant property line. So that doesn't seem to be an issue. The road has been relocated. The boardwalk project is underway, as you all have seen now, or as the road is in the process of being relocated. But that does bring us to the environmental questions. And one of the things that came up during the power plant modernization analysis and the boardwalk project analysis is that some people, including most importantly the Coastal Commission, do consider the property or the vegetation, the biological resources over on the in the area we're talking about, which is basically the area east of Embarcadero Road up to the power plant, as environmentally sensitive habitat. And what we're showing up there is some of the current designations from the Coastal Commission, as I understand it, with the exception of this area that's green is the Coastal Valley grassland. I don't think that, as I understand it, I'm out of my area expertise when I get into this, but that is a big question too, whether that is that. Is the facility that we're proposing is a marine dependent use, which is the highest priority use for the Coastal Act and the city's local coastal plan. So you've got conflicting priorities here. How we can resolve that will be something that we would have to work out as we get into design of the project. Another reason I was glad to be able to bring this to you so you can see, because we've been getting a lot of questions about how the boardwalk design is going to go, and I hope that you might get a look at the how the road is going to be realigned and the new bikeways and the boardwalk there. So in 2006, we, with these property issues at least resolved and the boardwalk pretty well moving along to straightening out Embarcadero Road, we did ask the City Council to budget money for to work on a concept plan, additional concept plan and engineering feasibility on this project. That money exists. We have not started work on it. The purpose of this hearing tonight would be to hold a public hearing, take your input, the public's input, and I did give you a couple of questions that it's been quite a while since we've discussed this in detail and looked at it, and some questions I would have, for example, would be, is the site north of the intake structure west of the power plant still the best site? How big a boat repair facility should we try to build? Scoping, basically, are we going all the way up for the whole enchilada, or should we stick with a minimum? Should the concept include commercial buildings, additional parking? How can we make this project economically feasible? And can we downscale or go bare bones on some other elements? So those were my ideas. I'm sure you have many others. I'd love to answer your questions or however you'd like to proceed.
Sorry, are there any questions or comments for Mr. Algert or just comments in general before we open this up for public comment?
I got one from
Ed.
Before everybody, so everybody knows this, I talked with the planning, the Parks and Recreation Committee tonight, and they have a plan to do Coleman Park and move it, and they got $48,000 allocated to redesign Coleman Park and move it. And so we suggested that she come down and talk to you and ask if we can maybe combine this with the same architect and get a break on the price. I don't know if they'll do that or not, but that was suggested anyway. So, and that's one thing. And the other thing is as far as this so-called environmental habitat here that's been dredge spoils originally with plants grew, the Coastal Commission commissioned for using this land for the boatyard, which is better use, having the vacant land there so some animal might walk there or pollute the bay and kill a bunch of other stuff. So, you know, there's a balance there you have to strike, and I think the Coastal Commission.
Jim.
I have a comment, too, just based on the 1998 Marshall and Associates study, which were not really supportive of the boatyard being economically feasible. At that time, we had in Morro Bay two active boatyards. We had a functioning chandlery, and we had then two functioning fuel docks. And of course, at this time, we don't have but one of those, and it's questionable even how functional it is as a boatyard, too. So it might be more economically feasible now than it was in 1998 to have such a facility as this in Morro Bay. That's my input.
It says in here that the number of boats that make...
Are you on? Thank you.
The number of boats at the time of the study was 481, 487. I would wonder how many boats there are today. And secondly, it says that it's the market would only be the local boats, but I don't believe that's true. We would have particularly pulled the boats from Port San Luis because it's so difficult to get out and unpredictable there, as well as perhaps not a large number, but transients coming through who at times would probably use this yard. And then, you know, in Port San Luis, you said that it's all based, the feasibility of it is based on having the equipment all granted in and they don't have to pay for it out of the proceeds of the yard. So they only have to worry about day-to-day expenses on it. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, if I understood your question. I think down at Port San Luis, the port has put in all the facilities.
Okay.
And they have an operator there, or a lessee, or concessionaire, who's running the equipment and facility for them.
But they lose an awful lot of revenue because of when the number of... I guess in some it's how many boats really... What would the market be today? I mean, 481 is what their estimate was in 98 when they did this.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look in detail, but generally when I say, as people ask how many boats are there, I roughly say 500. It's been a while since we've done any kind of count.
Uh-huh.
It hasn't increased much, you know.
Because there's no place to put them.
There's not been much increase.
It would increase if there were a place to put them.
That's true.
Bill, any comments or questions before we open it up to the public? Gene?
Yes, Rick, a couple questions. Do you know what the current zoning for that property is?
I think it's CF zone.
With an overlay for commercial fishing.
Well, yeah, it's commercial fishing zone. I'm sorry, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a zone that is approved in a local coastal plan by the local coastal commission. So how they can determine later on that they feel as though it's an environmental sensitive habitat goes against what they've already stated they approved. My next question is I've always advocated a marine research facility And I thought that we were trying to tie that into the same area here. And I'd like to see that incorporated at some point here.
It wasn't in the 98 plan, but I hear you, and I think that that has been discussed a number of times.
That could be a viable economic interest.
Michelle, questions or comments before we open this up?
Yeah, I just had one question. I don't know what the minimum is for a travel lift, like if there's a minimum length on it, but I was wondering if a jib crane was really necessary with the, because wouldn't most of those boats be trailerable to pull out at the launch and drive over there?
Yeah, I think so, and I think the jib crane was one of the things that was felt like could be cut, so that you, just had trailerable boats in your boat launch ramp, or in your boat storage yard, then you probably wouldn't need it. And there are all kinds of, it's been a while since we went through that whole thing with the equipment, but there's everything from 10-ton travel lifts, up to 150, 200s, I'm sure, maybe more.
Is there a length that a travel lift can go, Ed? Can they go half a mile?
Yeah, I just can't go fast.
Right, I understand that, but...
Yeah, it can go walking speed. They can go a long ways. I mean, in Texas, we hung, Barker Dog goes around a corner, they're going to have to cut it out and put a lot of reinforcement sporting in there, and they're going to have to go around some of this PG&E stuff. They got a outfall and pipes underneath there, that, on the corner. So that has to be taken into account. But there's no problem for the travel lift to go down 300-400 yards or whatever it has to go.
Yeah, great.
And they can stack boats up pretty close. But that's just about the way it is.
And I will add just the thought, the historical note. Michelle, you're probably too young to remember it, but I know Gene would remember it and Ed would. When they were replanting those dunes with non-native grasses just to stabilize the dunes, and there was I believe it was CCC that was used, and the dunes were moving so rapidly that they went in with non-native grasses to stabilize that dune area. So as far as it being historical native grasses and all, I know their intentions are well-meaning, but it's certainly not a natural habitat. It's a man-made habitat out there.
All those bumps that are over in that lot there? Those are places where they used to have the pipeline dredged there. And they'd move that pipeline, and as soon as they get a big pile, they'd move it, get another pile. That's where all that stuff came from originally.
Right. So. Yeah. We've done a lot of beach nourishment through the years with our dredging projects, haven't we?
So we're all convinced, yeah. But the Coastal Commission isn't.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, we can open this up to the public. I think that it's important we hear from the public. When you come forward, please state your name for the record and give us your comments and thoughts. Thank you.
My name is Norman Anton. I'm co-chair of the State Park Marina Boat Owners Association, and I just wanted to comment on the boatyard situation. My own personal experience, and frankly, many of the people that I know in the marina have had similar experiences with the boatyard in Avila, and that is that the surge prevents you from its months, and frankly it's just easier to run down to Ventura, which is just what I do. And many of the people that I know that have boats in the marina and out on moorings do just exactly the same thing, run down to Ventura and haul out. I think that given the fact that Avila is an open roadstead, and it's not a feasible boatyard to come out in for a good number of the months of the year. Wintertime, you can just pretty well forget it. It sands up. They can't accommodate anybody that has any kind of depth at all. And they could do a ton of business more than they're doing, and they're not doing it because it's so difficult to haul out there. And if we put in a boatyard that had the accommodation for haul-outs and doing a proper job on with the kind of boats that we have here, and frankly, others that come in many times and tie up I'm also a member of the Morro Bay Yacht Club, and many times we have people that come in and tie up there at the dock that are coming either down from north on their way to Mexico or vice versa, and they also need to haul out, and they are unable to, and they have to wait until they get further south in order to do it, and sometimes with a lot of inconvenience. So, you know, the old saying, build it and they would come. I think if you built it, they would come. I think we'd have a lot of business and a very successful boatyard here if we just provided the facility. As far as the number of boats that are in the area, all of us that are in the marina got a letter from Associated Pacific not too long ago that said they had 120 people on their waiting list. I don't know how many more waiting lists there are in this area, but I'm sure there are many. Anybody that has slips available no doubt has a waiting list. And so I think there's a lot here now, and we need to change that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anton. Who else would like to speak to this subject?
Good evening. My name is Dana McClish, resident of Morro Bay, and I happen to be the present Commodore for the Morro Bay Yacht Club. I've been boating in this area since the early 80s. I lived on a boat back then. I used to go to Port San Luis every year in the early 80s. The parking lot at Port San Luis, where there's cars parked, used to be filled with boats, and along down the side towards the entrance to Diablo Canyon back then. The state ran it, and it was really cheap, and you could haul out and stay there a month, and it was real. And that was part of why it was so crowded, but also it just used to be where everybody went. And they had a chandlery, and they had more things there. And we did too here, which we don't have, as Norm was just pointing out, anymore, with the loss of Marine Services, Giannini's, and we have visitors coming at the yacht club all the time, transients. They're looking for an oil filter or anything, foul weather gear. Nothing is available in Morro Bay. You know, these are the things that are missing in this town that's right on the bay. We're centrally located between Monterey and Santa Barbara, and everybody knows us because of that location. This is the safe haven, but you can't get anything. You can go to Miners and get some line, and that's about it right now. So as far as this boatyard idea, I think the boatyard is needed, but the viability would come more from the commercial uses and also from the boat storage. We're talking about boat slips, not enough, moorings, you can't find one. There's a lot of boats in this bay and people that want to put boats in this bay that are keel boats. Those could be in dry storage, and that would be the use of that jib crane. You go to other yacht clubs, and they have their own dry storage, and they have keel boats sitting there on trailers, 28-footers, whatever, 30-footers. They bring them over right on the trailer, put them in the water, go racing, go sailing for the day, come back, put them back in the yard. People are willing to buy that space, pay for that space, rent that space. So these are, and then just continue. But that's about all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McClish. Anyone else, please come forward.
My name is Jeff Davidson. I'm a boat owner in Morro Bay. I just want to lend my support to the project. I think it is important, and agree with most everything that's been said. And just to add, I think we have to do it. And I think by that I mean if there's two things Morro Bay needs, in my opinion, to stay a viable harbor. One is a functioning state park marina, which we're working on, and I know they're working very hard on, and that has to get done at some point. There's too many slips there that we'd lose. And two is a boatyard. Without it, I think we'll become a harbor of kayakers, and that'll be all we have here over the years. And I don't think that's what any of us want. I do believe with what Norm said, and that is if we build it, they will come, and I really believe that. I think we would get most of Port San Luis's business. Wouldn't be good for them. And I don't know if that's enough, but with their business plus whatever we would have would be pretty significant. And I also want to reemphasize what Dana mentioned about and Norm mentioned about transients coming through. I'm the port captain at the yacht club. And so I talk to a lot of these transients, and there's a tremendous amount of transients that would like to have some work done at the boatyard. They've gotten beat up coming down here for whatever reason. We get a lot of requests, and we can't obviously fill it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing no one, we'll bring it back to the board for further discussion. Jim.
I just thought of two other things that existed in Morro Bay in the past that don't exist here now. One is a marine electronics store. So if you have an electrical problem or electronics problem, and you're with my low level of skill, you're in trouble. And the other thing is a mechanic, particularly a diesel mechanic. But they're in
but is there money to do it? I'm sure there's a lot of steps, but how do we generate money to build this thing? Is it through the city budget? Is it through the harbor budget? Or
that's a great question. What the good news is that we have a little bit of money now, the $40,000 for design and planning, but that won't take us very far. Typically, for a major new public facility, we would try and accumulate capital. You know, after the revenues and expenses of my budget every year, I've got a certain amount that's left over for capital projects, and that is I'm trying to accumulate money for the North T Pier repairs right now. So accumulating $3 million, one could assume, would take quite a while. Now, there are a number of other mechanisms we can go. When we ran into a problem like this and we needed critically and immediately to fix the South T Pier, we went and borrowed money from Department of Boating and Waterways at 4.7. This type of project would easily qualify for their low-interest loans for boating facilities. And that South T Pier loan that we borrowed $2 million and actually fixed up some of our slips with that, too, with the remainder after the T Pier was rebuilt. And that loan runs another 15 years, but I'm sure we have borrowing capacity. We also, many of us think that this, once we get it to a level where we've got a little better plan, there might be some grant-type money that we think, waterfront revitalization, environmental services-type grants. So far, nothing's, we've kind of had this project on the shelf, and I've kept my eye out, and nothing has jumped right out at us as they're just begging to throw the money at us. But we certainly would hope and explore that as much as we could. But if it just had to be another way we might finance this type of project was what I was hinting at, is sort of a ground lease-type development where we might try and find a private developer. But I don't think this situation that's going to work very well. We're going to have to find the infrastructure money ourselves. So we're looking at accumulating in the harbor fund or grants or loans.
Anyone else? I would suggest that if this gets further along the lines of what Mr. Ewing's brought up, the environmental necessity of good boat maintenance. Some of the smaller boats really aren't capable of going down to Ventura, or the boat owners are not looking forward to that sort of trip in a small vessel. The storage is a good point, but the Tidelands Park boat ramp project. It's been...
And the current interest rate on that is 4.7.
My personal opinion is that it would be really hard to get an operator to come in and pay for... They couldn't see it economically viable to come in and build the facility. But if we could offer some... If we could figure out a way to offer a turnkey facility, they could certainly support themselves with the facility in place, and a portion of just like with other lease sites, could go towards repayment of the loan, maybe a percentage added to all of their charges. There's got to be a way, if we can get an operator in there interested and build it, to pay the note, especially if those low interest loans are available, and perhaps some grants as well. That's kind of my hope. Lynn?
Yeah, I'm sure the financing is one of the major hurdles. The other one is the Coastal Commission, isn't it? How to convince them that this is not sensitive in habitat? And it seems from what I hear that everybody here is convinced, but how do you get the Coastal Commission to change their mind?
Gene,
you want to try?
Okay. Are we talking about staff, or are we talking about the commissioners?
Yeah. It showed up in their report, and I think that for the boardwalk project, as the designation is environmentally sensitive habitat, there at this time they've approved the boardwalk project designating that whole area as environmentally sensitive habitat. And there's an ongoing question with the city doesn't agree, and we'll need to work that out as the mitigation program for this project goes forward. So that all I can say at this point is that it's going to have to be worked out at staff level, and we're trying. But it's difficult once it approves, and there are conflicting biological reports. And we've had biological reports, I believe it's mentioned in the letter I included in there, that found no sensitive biological resources there. And they apparently have one biologist who disagrees. So at this point, I can't say how we'll resolve that. It's hard to tell, but I can say that on the local planning level,
boats and have problems. And that's a swap. As far as the boatyard's concerned, as operations, there's people that are already interested in it. There was a guy that came down from Chetco Marine Supply, and he wanted to put a marine store in here because it's Giannini's closed. And I told him, well, at the moment, I don't think you're going to do a lot of business unless something changes, because the properties down here are pretty expensive, and if you might be able to find something to rent. But so he looked around and kind of kicked it around and decided not to do it right away. But he was definitely, I told him, he was trying to build a boatyard here, and he'd be definitely interested in putting a marine store at that facility. And because not only then does he sell fishing equipment and yachting blocks and line and whatever, there's also the paint involved and the tools involved and everything else. The boatyard, I think, will take care of itself. But I don't think if we're going to do this, we should put all the parking in at once. Sounds like you need your dry storage designated there to get boating waterway loan, which is fine. And that doesn't have to be concrete. That can be gravel, as long as it's been compacted, where they store the boats at. And as far as the boatyard itself, I would suspect that we should try to plan to have enough room for 20 boats. Because I think you'll get that business. There's at times you want to go to Ventura, they're busy, and the Moss Landing's busy too sometimes. Usually you can get in one or the other, but not always. So I think the way it breaks down is you need the space to wash the boats down, where all the bottom paint and debris on the bottom of the boat's going to go into the filter system. And then they reuse that water again until the filters get plugged, and then they take them to Kettleman City. So you need a space for two boats to be washed down, because on a tide you could easily haul two boats out with the travel lift. And going on down the line further, you need a space for maybe three or four boats where the yard is actually doing work on them, where they're going to you know, hire a welder to come in or hire a wood butcher to come in or whatever, painters. And then you need more room for guys that want to work on their own boats, which a lot of people do down the line. So you need to stack, you probably stack those boats. And they can be stacked fairly close as long as the work doesn't conflict. In other words, and the guy's not grinding a steel boat next to a fiberglass yacht and burning the paint job off it. And there's several things that need to be done. The painting area, you're going to have to screen that like they do with a big, tall. It's a big, tall set of pipes on wheels, and they have a flat part of the deal when it comes to the financing. They're going to have to get their own because that's a little our marine research facility. And that's fine to put one in. But Boating Waterways isn't going to look at that. You're going to have to get other financing for that. So you can designate it, from my position, designate an area that could be a marine research facility. But until such time as they get the money to do the project, it's going to be empty space as far as I'm concerned, because I can't see spending more money than we need to. It's going to be expensive enough. And when I look at this project here as it looks right now, that's a lot of money with all that parking lot space there and everything else. There's a lot of things to put in. I'd cut that parking down somewhat because you're only going to have 20, 30 customers there for the boats and the marine store off and on coming and going. So that's what I'd do, is cut it down a little bit and leave the yard big enough to haul at least, have at least 20 boats lined up that can be worked on and have your dry storage down the road. And that's about what I got to say about it.
Gene.
Ed, I know the issue is in Port St. Louis. Will the tide create much of a problem here in Morro Bay?
Actually, the location there, I think it's fairly deep. I think it's probably at least 10, 11, 12 feet deep there at a mean high tide, not an average high tide. And if they build them, all they have to do is make the pilings go out far enough. We might have to have a diver survey it to where it gets deep enough, because those straps are only about this thick.
No, I'm not thinking about the tidal depth so much. Is the current crossing through there?
It's not too bad there, actually.
Right.
Not as bad as expected. So there's less current there than there is probably anywhere in the bay.
It's kind of an eddy there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. An eddy.
Backwash there.
Anyone else? Jim, please.
A question anyway. The $40,000 that the city budgeted in 2006, if it's spent on preliminary engineering design and feasibility work, what can we expect to get from that beyond another blueprint?
Be honest with you, probably not a lot. I think that's very close. I think, as Ed mentioned, that's close to the amount of money that was budgeted in the rec and parks for the Coleman Park Master Plan. I mean, what we can basically do is, and maybe this is a good time to talk about as any, I think that's a pretty good suggestion that Ed made apparently at the Rec and Park Commission, is that we look at more of a broader master plan for this area, potentially, and look at the same planning consultant to do the park, that a relocating the playground and maybe even expanded playground would be a dandy use down there. And the Harbor Advisory Board might think that, geez, we have hardly any area because of this darn ESH thing they're telling me, and maybe we need to put dry storage there. So we're going to have to approach this kind of carefully. There could be some, maybe not different diverging priorities between the Rec and Parks Commission and the Harbor Advisory Board. So that's one comment, and I'll speak to the Park and Recreation Director and see if we can potentially combine the planning effort, because it would probably be economies of scale that the planner would be able to look at the whole area, and we'd probably come up with a better suggestion for the city council when it comes to decision time, something that would try to incorporate or at least give them two or three different options.
It certainly makes sense to not have them off merrily designing their project and us designing our project and then discover down the road, oh my goodness, we've got two different projects on the same property. I think that it's really wise to address this early. Yeah. Well, I don't think playground use is going to be anyway.
Well, and I think that's a good comment. I think when the boating access facility plan was looking at this, we thought there would be a large area available. I mean, the boat storage part of it goes, you know, quite a ways up the Embarcadero toward the creek was conceptually what was to do. And So if that's one of my questions to you. Do you still see boat storage as an important part of this facility, I assume?
Yes. Yes.
We need to try and come up with some kind of dry boat storage to add. Then we add boats, we add customers for things like fuel, chandleries, and we do drop people towing boats in and travel and transportation time.
Well, I think most of us, Gene made a good point, sometimes coastal staff, you know, really wants to push the envelope as far as they can, and the Coastal Commission itself is probably going to see through, you know, a well-presented argument. This isn't the same sort of sensitive dune habitat that you see on the way out to Montaña de Oro. And there are a lot of people, there's a lot of history of that area. It's been used as a place to dump dredge tailings. It's been used, it's been, you know, replanted with non-native species. It's a little different environment when you stand back and look at the last 50.
A conceptual conditional use application.
Well,
when we submit a conditional use permit,
right,
that's, and then you've got to have site plan, floor plan, the elevation sections, the whole thing. But if we can go for a conceptual,
Sort of a concept plan, you know, there might be another way to. Okay, I probably should defer to the planners. Why don't you let me check into that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill.
The one other thing, too, that everyone's been said is this facility, I think, is going to be wonderful for the boaters and for marine-orientated uses, but what about the tourists? I think the tourists here, this would be an incredible draw. You go to some other facilities that I've been at. I mean, people come there just to see the boats being worked on. And the amount of activity, I mean, we don't have too much in Morro Bay for the tourists to do besides, I don't mean to say anything right now, but to buy some trinkets and to eat. And that's about it. A business owner downtown told me the other day, Bill, look at the tourists that are downtown. Do they have any bags? They don't. And it never crossed my eyes, but I ride my bike down there every weekend, and there's very few bags that these tourists have. I don't know what they do, but, I mean, you know, in one respect. But I think this is a type of activity that Morro Bay needs, and we do have to do it. And barring the marine activities that it needs to be, just the whole atmosphere that I think will change the bay for better. That's my comment.
I really will back you up on the interest it would. We'd have to have a fence and a viewing area because our back two tables in the restaurant, when the boatyard was in operation, if there was a boat coming or going, those tables were dead for 2 hours because people were fascinated watching the whole operation of the lift and the boats maneuvering in and out. And it really is an interest. Well, yeah. And, if that rock out there came into play because the tide was just a little too low. But anyhow, have we beat this up enough, Jim? Go ahead. One more comment?
One more just comment regarding the need for dry storage. The Yacht Club is, at least occasionally, receives requests from, usually once that knowledge and availability of a dry storage area spread, that it would be well utilized.
Mr. Alger, what sort of, obviously the board is fully supportive of this, and I think that it is worth noting that the idea of a marine research facility be looked at as one of the commercial uses down there. But would you like us to take some action? Would you like a formal motion of endorsement? What would you like from us this evening to take this forward?
I think, you know, the fact that we've got a large turnout of people and the board is unanimous, I take it that you're very supportive of the project. You want me to proceed quickly. This appears to be the site we still want to work on. So that was one of my questions. I think it's probably still the best site too. And it's the place where we have land. It's not easy, but nothing is these days. I think what I heard, too, is that boat repair is the highest priority, and it doesn't have to be a giant facility. We should try to be practical, and potentially it can be not a large area, but we do have to have a big enough haul out to get most capture most of the boats in the harbor. And we want dry storage, which I agree with. I think we need to. And if we can, some commercial buildings, and marine commercial-type buildings would be something to add in. Now, so what, and also I think we, what I'm hearing, stop me if I'm wrong, is that we should really look into trying to see if the Coleman Park master planning effort can be combined with this, and we can come up with some process that we could come up with one plan to present to council on how to move forward on, in the area. So why don't you keep the heat on, and we'll put this on your agenda for the next meeting to report on the process for engaging a consultant.
Great. Bill?
Last question. How much money do we have left of the $40,000?
We haven't spent any of it yet.
Any of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody had their say? Okay. Fine. We'll move on to our next item, item 4.2, the status of the fuel dock lease site. It's my understanding that that site comes due, or the lease runs out January of 08, and that...
I mean, this is problematic, and it seems like all the leases in the site, in that part of the bay now, that we seem to have difficulty in coming to agreements. And then I would...
Are we going to ask for any kind of vote or an action on this item?
It's just an information item. No,
that's fine.
That wasn't my understanding. It was just a report from staff on the status.
Should be fine, I think. And so this is one of the sites we continue to see. It's a very high priority for us to try to keep these boating facilities, the old fuel dock. There's, I think, 24 slips there. And that we can't afford to lose them. But... So I'll continue to work on it, I guess, is what I can report to you. It is listed for, the property is listed for sale. That may or may not change the circumstances. We will do what we can in dealing with the real estate agent and potential buyers to try to ensure the continuation of that site. The site, the old Gladys Walton slips, is another site that's in question with the council whether they'll be willing to extend that 10-year lease for those slips, and if that's something the council doesn't choose to do, that we may lose those four slips too. So we have some concerns there in continuing to operate boating facilities in that part of the city.
Any questions for Mr. Auger? Lynn?
Have the current lessees been operating in compliance with their lease thus far?
They paid their rent, and we've had a few issues, but I can't think of anything that wasn't a significant problem that we haven't resolved. It's there are some housekeeping things and some general. The basis for a new lease that I would love to do there would be, say, to come up with some arrangement to have the tenant install new electrical services, new boxes, and so far, and those would be nice improvements, as you know. So far, we haven't been able to come to that agreement.
And some of the things that he has done, insofar as the electrical work, has not been permitted or done in a way that would please the city.
Well, I'm not aware of that. It's just, I would say that I probably went too far. I don't really want to. It's not probably beneficial for us to.
Any other questions from members here, Jim?
My understanding of the two letters here is that there's been no movement in terms of your request as of December 2006 to have the old fuel dock removed.
Another letter even later.
That one has to do with the electrical system. And
and there was a series of, I wouldn't say no movement in the sense that we communicate with the tenant, but we haven't received anything in writing, which was our desire to receive a proposal in writing that could be the basis. And
So those are like two separate issues, though. The,
exactly.
The fuel dock and the...
Well, we gave you an example. I gave you an example of the, how far-ranging the discussions have been. At one point, it was suggested that potentially we could come to some agreement that he could provide a service that would benefit all of us in removing the fuel dock, and then that didn't seem to work out, so then we went to the electrical. And so we're, as these things do, we've talked about a lot of different issues, been able to reach no conclusion on any of them.
Thank you.
Lynn.
It kind of sounds like he doesn't really want to continue with the lease.
Anyone else? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Algert. And now the parking management plan. Mr. Algert.
Pardon me. So I think what we're doing here is reporting to you that the City Council took it under consideration, had a number of, and did review your suggestions or your recommendations, and appreciated the recommendations they received from the boards and commissions. They, after giving some, having some questions on the parking management plan, and they're reported in more detail here, the City Council has scheduled a workshop, and I'm just looking for that date because it's, anybody see it here? Let's see, September 17th. So it's a tentative date right now, but I think that that was a good decision on all parties. There was enough questions and enough things going on. We're trying to get the parking management plan consultant to make a presentation to the council. Tentatively, that's set for September 17th, 3 o'clock. We'll keep you posted on that date when it comes up. Council did have a lot of questions, and it's an important document for the. So we'll keep you advised. And I did include the minutes from the council meeting if any of you found those interesting. But you can go to the meeting workshop, emphasize that, that those are critical uses, or the board can take another action, although they did receive your recommendation for that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a good thing for folks who are interested in that to go to the workshop. I'm sure there'll be a public comment period.
The idea of making one, a portion of the Embarcadero one way, even though there doesn't seem to be any support for it on the waterfront. It in reading the minutes, it sounded like they were kind of backing away from that a little bit. Is that your...
I would be reluctant to predict that one. It's an idea that's out there. I think you should attend the workshop and keep advised at that point.
That idea has been out there for years and discussed and beat up over and over and over again by people who, for the most part, don't live and work on the waterfront, I might add.
Exactly.
Yeah. Use your mic. Any other comments or questions from other board members? No? Okay. We'll move on to the Harbor Department status report.
I'll keep it quick. The ice supplies, the ice machine is in operation. Unfortunately, we haven't had any fish landed of any, hardly at all in the recent last month. There's been no salmon in this area and no albacore so far. Little black cod, but not much ice sales. But we did want to correct, too, that the Central Coast Fuel and Ice is still selling block ice down there. So the ice machine that was installed at the... next to Verges, just north of Verges, is not the only ice facilities downtown. The Aquina left on July 5th after 20 days of dredging. They dredged, I think, 130,000 yards. It was a very successful trip. It was great weather. It was sunny and calm most of the trip, which does help a little bit. I don't know if any of you have been out there. It was they really were able to work in the entrance area. This, because of a fairly mild winter, too, we didn't have much of an inner harbor bar extension there that usually takes up some of their more of their time. So they were able to get out to the entrance and get much of that area, the entrance improvement area, down to 32, 33, 34 feet. So we're ahead of the game at this point. And also, I was told a week ago that we're hoping that there's going to be even a little more money. It's looking like maybe 1.6 or 1.7 for the next fiscal year. Supervising the lifeguards and Adam Sachs as the head lifeguards have done a wonderful job. These
Caitlin Morris was involved with Dimitri in a rescue here that we describe on July 15, 2007, and one of the member of the public. Blake Montgomery did a great job too, pulling this young man out of the water after he had was basically going under. So that, and that's, we've had, I'll bring you the statistics. I think last year in September we gave you a report from the lifeguards, and we'll try and do that in September, October this year again, but with the full statistics. But it's been a busy year for them, and they've done a wonderful job. We reviewed the shark sighting policies here. There's been talk about that again. The city of Morro Bay does not close our beaches to anyone. We do post advisories when there's a confirmed reliable confirmed shark sighting. We will post advisories to let people know that you know, a shark sighting has happened. But as we all know, there are sharks out there, people should be advised that the ocean is a wild place, and there's wild animals out there, and including sharks. We do not close our beaches. The Harbor Walk project is underway. You know about that. 4th of July was a success. The weather wasn't, fog wasn't a great cooperator, but the event was a wonderful one. We did note in our harbor budget update that with the increase of our interfund allocation from $200,000 to $285,000 in this budget year, and I'm now picking up garbage cost on the waterfront that was going to be $35,000 or $40,000 that I didn't have to pick up last year, and loss of revenue from the Morro Dunes Trailer Park transferring up to the general fund, we're looking at losing $150,000 to $200,000 when you net it all out, it out of our budget. And this is not going to make it any easier for us this year and next year when we put our budget together. So I did want to make that note to you that...
I have a question about that.
Okay. And so basically I'll call finish then. How about that? And I'll entertain questions.
Thanks. I believe in the past that the city administrator's office used to take about 15% to 17% of their budget from the harbor fund, because they say that's about how much time they spent on it. Of course, I donated a brand new time clock to the administrator, but he didn't seem like he wanted to punch in.
That looked at all of the time that general fund service, the general fund paid employees spend on enterprise funds. And an example of that would be, how much time does payroll people that are paid by the general fund spend on harbor, doing harbor payroll? And there was determinations made in services throughout the city, and then there was a determination a certain amount of time the administrator's office spent supervising harbor fund activities. I don't remember exactly what that percentage was. That sounds a little high to me, but it could be. The majority, the biggest bulk of the overhead allocation, the time that we transfer, the time that is charged to our fund, comes from building maintenance for the restroom and park maintenance, parks and rec maintenance on the waterfront facilities, because they do clean and maintain the waterfront bathrooms and the parks, and they do a great job. And that was 50% of the costs, roughly, a little less than 50% of the costs, as I remember. At that time, the full cost allocation in 97 or 98, I believe, was 200 and something thousand, and the city council felt that was, this is a bit of a summary of the meeting, but the city council, when reviewed that, felt that that was too much. And so they actually made a somewhat arbitrary determination that we would pay less than the full cost allocation. As per that report, it was about 150. It was about 75% of the full cost allocation. We plugged along increasing that with CPI to a point where it was almost $200,000 in cost allocation last year. Now the city council in the budget this year, they've decided to take the full cost allocation with CPI based on the report as it was updated, is about, what we report, $285,000 this year. So I'll give you a long answer, but that's the way to,
sort of. I'll have to look that over. All right, thanks.
Bill.
One question. What's the status of the last meeting that we had here? You were going to present to the city council your idea to raise revenue at the boat launching facility. Where does that stand? I know that you said that that's what you were going to do, and where is that right now, Rick?
I thought it was a project I would try to move forward, and you also included it in your recommendation, the parking management plan, so we'd try to target next summer anyway, so I think we have a little time. So I have it. I'm always glad to procrastinate. I thought maybe we'd let it go through the parking management plan review, unless you'd rather see it otherwise.
Well, if there are no additional comments, future agenda items are next. Bill, do you want to bring that back as an item for discussion at the next meeting?
Please.
Okay. Any other agenda items suggested?
Are they going to give us a report on this meeting with the plan? Are they going to give us a report when Rick meets with the Parks and Rec? Is that you're going to do that next?
The boatyard. We agreed to put the boatyard again on the agenda, and my understanding is the board would like to see some kind of program or process to start the concept plan and the planning process, hopefully in conjunction with what's going on in Coleman Park. I'll try and work that out and give you a report on that.
Bill.
Excuse me. On another future, and maybe I shouldn't state this, but the State Park Marina, I know that's a very, very big project. I mean, I'm kind of new, so is that a item that we can discuss, or is not discussable? You're working on it. I mean,
no, it's absolutely.
I mean, is there anything more that we can do? Because I know the dilemma you're in to a certain extent.
Yeah. It was about a year ago. It seems like fall last year we did an update and a presentation on that, and it's due again. What I hope, where we're targeting right now, is to do another public hearing, because the scope of the project has changed enough where we're going to do one more scoping public hearing on the EIR, trying to wrap it up. We have changed the project, and that would be potentially in September. So a September or October review of the State Park Marina project would probably be good. Can we leave that flexible, September, October, based on how far we're getting working on
that? Sure, I'd rather give you the time you need so we can have an update that's, worth discussing.
Well, where we're targeting for this public meeting, if we can, in September, would be colored a much better depiction of the project than we previously had, so we'll be able to show you that, and it would be good to have those.
And I would like to have a discussion of the 2020 document that I believe the council is going to be discussing in September. I guess it's an issue I have with it is they wanted it to be kind of a free-flowing discussion, so there are a lot of, because it's an existing document, but at least we can have a chance before the council discusses it and to let them know our feelings on those items. So
September the 2020, probably September meeting.
Next meeting, I'd like to have that discussion so that they can have our views before their meeting. I think it's the second meeting in September that the council is discussing it. Jim?
Didn't we do some prioritizing of those once before?
Yes, but
they got reshuffled.
We discussed it, but I think that it's worth looking at again just to make sure it's fresh material for them. Yes. Anyone else? Then let's go home.
Thank you.